Well, I'm glad you had a few more things to say after that, because I'd have trouble speaking with a big lump in my throat. Thank you for the kind words. Well, Travis started us off last night, and we're talking about the attributes of God this week, and I think the appropriate place to start is talking about the holiness of God, just as he did. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we know that. It's nothing new to us here at Calvary Baptist Church. We know that the Lord is holy. We need constant reminders of that. And I want to agree with what Pastor said about Travis and his message last night. It was almost a hall of fame of the preachers for the last 200 years and the people that he quoted. I don't know if you were keeping track of them, but he mentioned a lot of the big ones. And you know, you think, well, that's, you know, he's name dropping or whatever. That is a big deal to have someone stand behind our pulpit that's not our pastor and has read up on what the big preachers, the major theologians have had to say for the last 200 years. That's a blessing that we have in our church. And then tonight I'm going to talk about the a merciful and gracious God. I'll get back to that in a minute. And tomorrow, Kevin's going to talk about the wrath of God. And I read about a pastor who about the mercy and grace of God. I can't even remember his name. I'm not going to do much name dropping tonight, but I like to read the same people that Travis was talking about. He said it's like BBs, a handful of BBs cast out into the Atlantic Ocean. Well, I'm not as good as that guy, and neither is Travis and neither is Kevin. I'm sorry, guys. But we're like, I've got 21 rocks, pebbles I picked up outside, boys, little ones. This is like casting them out into the universe, okay? That's what we're going to do tonight. And each one of these rocks stands for the 21 points that I want to make tonight. Does that sound good? 21 points? No, I'm sure not to you guys. But that, when we think about the depths of God, we can't even wrap our minds around it for a second. So, you know, I can't wrap them into 210 points. I can speak for the rest of my life and never even get close to describing the mercy and the grace of God. The context, or the passage that we're going to talk about tonight is in Exodus chapter 34, and we're going to look at the first 10 verses of Exodus chapter 34. But before we do, if you allow me to kind of catch us up to speed on where we find ourselves in this passage, in this chapter of Exodus. I know if you're my age or older, you've seen the Ten Commandments on TV. It's Charlton Heston. It's a wonderful classic. We love to see it. It's the Bible. It's poor comparison, but it's pretty good. It's something that we can kind of look at the Bible and look at the movie and say, hey, it's pretty good. Not bad. It kind of puts it in on the big screen that we can see and kind of get a glimpse of it. You younger children need to watch it just for so you can see it come to life. But if you haven't seen it, kind of just let me catch us up to speed with where we're at here in chapter 34. There was a man named Moses, okay? And I could go on just up to this point, but Moses was chosen by God to set his people free. Okay, and Moses said to God, I don't speak very well, God. I've got a stuttering problem. And he said, well, take Aaron with you. And he gave him a staff, and he said, throw your staff down on the ground, and it'll turn into a snake, and then the Pharaoh will listen to you. And so he did that. And the Pharaoh listened to him for a minute, and he said, okay, I'll set him free. I'll listen to you. Then there was there were 10 plagues that God visited the Pharaoh and his people with. And after each one of them, the first one was the water. He turned the water into blood. Okay? We think, well, that's, what about all the water we've been in today? Think about the water you've drank, the water you've swam in, the water we've used for cooking, the water you boys haven't been bathing much since you've been at camp, but if you had been bathing, that all that would be blood Does that sound very good? No, the Pharaoh's like, please take it away. This is a plague. I don't want any part of it. As soon as he took it away, guess what? Pharaoh hardened his heart. Nope, you can't leave. You can't go anywhere. Next came frogs. There were frogs everywhere. They'd crawl in bed at night, frogs in the bed, frogs in the pantry, frogs everywhere. They'd put on their shoes, there'd be frogs in their shoes. There was anywhere you can imagine, there were frogs. It was a plague of biblical proportions of frogs. Same thing. They took him away. Pharaoh hardened his heart. He didn't let the people go. This happens 10 times. There was lice. There were flies. Livestock diseased. There were boils. They had horrible sores. Anybody had poison ivy this summer? Well, multiply that times 50, but covering your body. Horrible, oozing boils that are so painful. Same thing. He hardened his heart and didn't let the people go. Then there was hail. Hail. We know what hail is in Oklahoma, right? The big ice chunks falling out of the sky. Locust, darkness, the death of the firstborn among the families. We could spend a long, long time in this, and I just kind of want to catch us up to speed. But after each one of these things, it was the same thing. Pharaoh hardened his heart and did not let his people go. After the last one, which was the death of the firstborn, which included the Pharaoh's son, he said, get out of here. Get this people out of my land. I don't want anything to do with them. They left. They gathered up all their belongings and left. And they made it to the Red Sea before Pharaoh changed his mind. And he gathered up his armies and he's coming after them again. Guess what the Israelites said to Moses at this point? Oh, great. God, you brought us out here to die. Are you kidding me? You just saw 10 miracles right before your eyes. He spared you. He's freed you out of the land, and now you think he's going to bring you here to die? What does he do? Does anyone know? Can you think of, kids, do you remember from the stories? He took out the staff and he hit the water and parted the Red Sea. The Israelites walked across like on dry land. They made it all the way across on dry land, and here comes Pharaoh. Can you guess what happened when Pharaoh and all his army got into the Red Sea? The oceans closed up on him. They were all killed. Okay? This was an amazing story. And that's where we find ourselves. Okay? 3 months go by. 3 months go by from the time the Red Sea closed up on Pharaoh and the army to where the time that Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. Okay? Can you think about that for just a second? 3 months, 90 days go by after the Israelites have just seen 10 miracles. Okay? They've been delivered from the hand of appearingly an angry God who brings these horrible plagues on these people. And they know they're God's chosen people at this time. The icing on the cake was the Red Sea incident when they walked across like on dry land. Their enemy is swallowed up in the ocean. 3 months go by. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to speak to God. He hears from God. God writes these words called the Ten Commandments upon these stone tablets. Okay? Did you hear the 3 month part? He comes down after a length of time, and what does he find? Well, I would think they'd be singing songs like we sang tonight, praising God. Do you know what they did? They made a golden calf and were worshiping it. What do you think Moses did? Well, I'll tell you what he did. He took these commandments and he slammed them down on the table or on the ground and broke them. You think he was mad? His face shone because he was in the presence with God. He comes down and these people are worshiping a golden image. He's mad. And that's where we find this passage in Exodus chapter 34. I want to make this very personal for us tonight, for you tonight, Because it's very easy for us to look at the Israelites and ask the question and say, how can they do that? When I look at that, my entire life I've looked at the story of the Israelites and I say, how can they do that? I do not understand how they could do that. But in preparation tonight, the title that I've kind of put on the top of my page for this message tonight is not how can they do that, but how can He do that? And we're going to discuss that more as we get into it. So, as we start this Exodus chapter 34, I want you to remember that Moses had just broken the stones a few chapters before. And we start in verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you. And let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose up early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hands the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. This is God speaking, so just in case you tuned me out a while ago, tune back in for a second. God speaking, and he says, and the Lord God, or Yahweh, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon your iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. Verse 10 says, and he said, and he with a big H meaning God, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. So, before you get on our high horses and ask how could they, let's think about what those commandments, the first books of stone that Moses broke and the second ones, by the way, said. The first commandment, kids, anyone remember what the first commandment is? It starts out with, I am the Lord your God who delivered you out of, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You may be sitting there tonight thinking, hey, I can check that one off the list because you know what? I haven't ever made a golden calf and bowed down and worshiped that. Not that easy. I wish it were. Because what we have in our society is something much more serious than a golden calf that we bow down to. And so did they in that time. We have that picture of a golden calf, but guess what we have for idols? Well, how about everything? How about the TV at night that we like to turn on instead of... An idol is anything that you put before God. These things do not have to be evil in and of themselves. Everyone in here knows I'm a baseball coach. I like to coach my kids at ball, and I like to coach other people's kids at ball. There is nothing wrong in and of itself of baseball. But guess what? For a lot of people, baseball is that golden calf. Baseball is an idol that they put before God. Guess what? I have to watch my heart because I'm just like the Israelites. And so are you. It's probably not baseball for you. It may be fishing. It may be hunting. It may be working on old cars. It may be your husband or your wife. It may be whatever your hobby is. But an idol, idolatry, is anything that we put before God. We're worshiping that in the place of God. So completely remove the idea in your mind that if you're not bowing down on your knees and going like this, that you're free and clear from idol worship. You can't put a check mark by your name on the first commandment. You're guilty, and so am I. We're just going to cover two. The next commandment is the fifth that I'd like to talk about tonight. And it says, honor your father and mother, and your days will be long. I'm talking to you, kids. I know you're tired. I know you've been swimming all day. Follow me for a few minutes here. If you've zoned out, zone back in. Honor your father and mother. That's your... You want to know how to live for the Lord when you're a child? If you're still in your parents' house, you don't want to know how to do that? You honor your father and mother. Okay? It's the first commandment with a what? With a promise. So that your days may be long in the land. In American culture, we like to think, hey, that sounds pretty good. My days will be long in the land. But guess what the other side of that, back in this day, if you didn't honor your father and mother, guess what happened? We want to talk about corporal punishment. How about capital punishment? You don't want to honor your father and mother? You're put to death. Not a spanking on your rear end. Killed. Dead. That's what they did to people who didn't honor their father and mother. You think your spanking's going to hurt your child's self-esteem? Give me a break. Honestly. There were times in my life as a child where I did not honor my father and mother. And so did you. Anybody figure in their batting average right now on the first two commandments? I'm 0 for 2. I don't know where you're at, but I'm at 0. I do know where you're at. You're at 0 too. Sorry. We're not doing very good in our batting average. So, go back with me to the start of chapter 34 for a minute. Let's pretend like we're the Israelites, okay? We are the Israelites, and before, when we caught up to speed and where we've been at this place, I was standing back here reading, okay? I was kind of taking the bird's eye view of where we're at, okay? Well, we've all agreed that we're guilty of the first two. So let's step in to chapter 34 of Exodus, because guess what? We're all right there with the Israelites. We're not any better. We're not any worse. We're in the same boat, okay, as the Israelites in chapter 34. This is a big deal, what God is doing. Because I don't know about you, but when I read it, if I'm standing back here and I read this, I'm like, are you kidding me? Why isn't he just wiping them off the face of the earth? God's chosen people? Get real. They're horrible. They, after each one of these plagues, they're complaining. They're like, we're never going to get out of here. Are you kidding me? No, let's step in. Okay, we got to put ourselves right there with them. Because we're guilty just like they are. Moses is their go-between at this point. Okay? We don't pray through Moses. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He was our intercessor. He's ever making intercessions for us. At this point in the history of the Bible, they're using Moses. Okay? Moses goes up on Mount Sinai. He talks with God. He gives him the Ten Commandments. He comes down, they're worshiping the golden calf. He breaks them. Some time goes by. I don't know how much it is. I didn't get that deep into it. But some time passed by, and guess what? He goes up again, and he gets a new law. It's the same law as before, but he's making another tablet on stone. God gives him the directions. And let me just point to you to verse 6. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. That's my point tonight, is the God of mercy and the God of grace. The God of mercy and the God of grace. That's the attributes of God. And like I said before, I'm going to take my stones and cast them out here. I'm not even going to touch the surface. Okay? This is not all inclusive. As Christians, I hope that all of us in this room spend the rest of our lives pondering the wonderful, loving mercy and grace of God. We'll never get to the bottom of it, but let's try. Let's try to continue in learning more about our God. So, some attributes of God, mercy and grace. Is He long-suffering? Is that good news to the Israelites at this point in the Bible? Do they know that God is long-suffering? I hope they do. I know they do. I know He is because of this verse right here. He's abounding in goodness and truth, verse 6 says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. We're doing so good up to this point. It sounds like roses and sunshine. I'm all for it. I mean, it sounds good. But then the other side of the coin. By no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. So, we have mercy and we have grace. Who is that for? Because He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and He's always abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. Who is God's mercy and grace for? Well, what did Moses do? What did Isaiah do? When he was confronted last night, Isaiah said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Isaiah was confronted. What did he say when he saw God, when he saw caught a glimpse of it? What did he say? Woe is me. Was God's forgiveness and mercy for Isaiah? Why? He repented. He said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm from a people of unclean lips. Moses was the go-between for His people and God. Jesus Christ is the go-between for us. First Peter 5:5. It says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Kids, did you hear me? My children, did you hear me? When you're wrong, you know you've sinned against your parents, you know you've done something wrong. How does it work? How does it work for you? You go in, you're proud, you're haughty spirit. You're like, I didn't do nothing wrong. You back talk your mom. Does that work pretty good for you if you go in with a proud heart? My mom's back there. It didn't work good for me at all. My dad, I didn't even dare doing that with my dad. He would, whew, bad news. It's bad news for my kids too, isn't it, Ren? Huh? Our God is the same way. Dads, I sit in a camp that fathers, we are so important to our kids. How we treat our children is how they see God as they're growing up. That's for them to grow up with a healthy aspect, a healthy realization of who God is in my mind, and I believe is a direct correlation of how we treat our children, how we discipline our children. Piper said, I said I wasn't going to name drop Travis. Piper, he said there's two kinds of people who are hard to help in pastoral counseling. One thinks he's too far gone to be forgiven. The other thinks forgiveness is a snap. One thinks he's utterly disqualified for the kingdom. The other thinks he's a shoe-in. The one thinks God is unbendingly wrathful. The other thinks God is a pushover. One is blind to the magnificence of God's mercy. The other is blind to the magnitude of his own misery. That's the two extremes. You may be in one of those two extremes tonight. There's grace found in the mercy seat of God. Everything that we've done so far at camp has totally worked together for the good for those who love Him and called according to His purpose. Proverbs 1:7, for the beginning of knowledge, what? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Thank you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Are you seeing a pattern here? Is it making sense, the type of people that the grace of God is attracted to? You may think, well, I may not be one of God's chosen people. Humility is what attracts God's grace to us, human beings. I'm not any better than anyone else sitting in here. And neither are you. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners in the hands of an angry God. We're all sinners in the hands of a merciful, gracious God. Angry and wrathful to the proud. Loving, long-suffering, patient, abounding in steadfast love, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin to the humble. That's what we are to be. What do we have to be proud about? What do we have to brag about in and of ourselves? Absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. If we boast, we boast in the Lord Jesus and in Christ alone. So let me close with this last thought, and it's from Lamentations Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 say, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." I had a couple of thoughts. That verse, he makes his mercies new every day. There was I don't know if C.C. Winans sang that song a few years ago. It was a Christian song based off of this verse. I like to try to make things practical to my everyday life so I can try to remember them. But anybody ever, the first thing when you open your eyes, you smell coffee brewing? To me, as an adult, you kids are like, ugh, I don't like coffee. But to me, that's a good smell. Well, what if we as Christians, when we wake up and that first smell of the day is the smell of God's mercies new for us on that day? Is that a good thing? Would that help you wake up on the right side of the bed? Wife? Husband? All of us. That was meant to be a joke to my wife. That's a wonderful verse. He makes his mercies new every day. That's incredible. We serve a God that is unmatched. He is so wonderful that we will never be able to explore all the depths of what He is. Let's close in prayer tonight. Lord, I thank You for Your faithfulness to us. I thank You that You are so patient and long-suffering. Lord, I thank You for loving us enough to be patient. And Lord, just like Your servant Jonah, at times we get fed up with one another and we don't want to preach to certain people because we think they might repent and come to You. Lord, forgive us for acting like that. Lord, help us to have Your patience and help us to have Your love. Help us to have Your grace for one another as we go through the rest of this week, the rest of this day, the rest of this camp. And Lord, just as we've prayed already, just weld us together in the love of Christ. And may You just see it pleasing in Your eye to use us and to help change this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.